Let's come in our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 19, please. Just one verse for you this evening, but again we'll refer to a few other scriptures. 2 Samuel chapter 19, and just the verse number 10. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 10. "And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" And let me read that question again. "Why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" And we trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. When we want to ask the question, what is truth? Well, we come to the word of God and we have no problem finding out what is truth. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is the very definition of truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so when you look at the person of Christ, there are many aspects to Christ that indeed we can say are all connected with him being truth. There's the truth of his incarnation, that Jesus Christ left the glories and splendors of heaven and came into this world, born as that little babe in Bethlehem, where God was manifest in flesh. We could then talk about his death. What a death he died on that center cross. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And again, that is truth tonight. Jesus Christ came and Jesus Christ died. And then when we move forward, we discover that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph or his foes. And we thank God tonight that Jesus Christ is alive. And because he lives, those of us who have put our faith and trust in him will live with him throughout the ages of eternity. Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose again. But it didn't finish there. We read that he ascended up into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. There he ever liveth to make intercession for us. There he is our advocate, those of us who are saved. Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our great high priest tonight. We can come to him, and he invites us indeed to come boldly onto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus Christ lived on this planet, he understands what we're going through, and who better to go to than the Lord Jesus Christ, that one mediator between God and man. What a wonderful truth we find in the person of Christ. He came into this world, born as a little babe in Bethlehem. He went to Calvary and died on that cross for your sin and for my sin. He rose again victorious. He has ascended and seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. But that's not the end of the story. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, "I will come again." We have this glorious truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. And regardless of what someone may believe about eschatology, all born-again believers believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I remember the late Pastor Tom Orr. Some of you may have known Pastor Orr. And I remember him preaching in my home church in, quite a number of years ago, and he took this text, "Why speak ye not a word about bringing the king back?" And the challenge was to God's people, to pastors, to churches, why do you not preach that Jesus Christ is coming again? Why does there seem to be that silence about this glorious truth? If you were to have a testimony meeting, one by one you would hear men and women and even young people testify how that truth that Jesus Christ was coming again, the fact that he could come at any moment, how that moved them to trust the Lord as their Savior, because they wanted to be ready when the Lord Jesus Christ would return. How much we miss out when we fail to tell men and women that Jesus Christ is coming again. I want to take a story in the Old Testament here, and I want to look at King David tonight. Just to give you a little bit of the background about King David, there was a conspiracy against King David. At the heart of it was his son Absalom. We read in 2 Samuel 15, verse 6, "On this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Really, as people came to see the king, Absalom would pull them to the side and say, "Look, if I was king, I would do things much better." And he stole the hearts of the people. It became so bad that David had to flee. 2 Samuel 15, verse 23. "And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over towards the way of the wilderness." David as the rejected king. David is the one who was despised and rejected. He crosses over the brook Kidron, and he has to leave Jerusalem. He really goes on the run. If we were to roll the clock forward to the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, we find the Lord Jesus as the rejected one. He too crossed the same brook, the brook Kidron. You can read of it in John 18, verse number 1. Absalom eventually was killed, and David the king is now coming back. David is coming back again. That's the context of verse number 10. "Why speak you not a word of bringing the king back?" And I want to think of some who met the king on his return. And I want you to use your imagination tonight, and I want the Spirit of God to speak to you tonight, and see tonight, how will you meet the king? If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back tonight, how would you meet him? You know, last night I was checking the news, and I discovered that Iran had fired some 300 missiles and those things that fly in the sky, and they had sent them in the direction of Israel. That's the first time that Iran has directly attacked Israel. You know, if I was open the Word of God in Ezekiel 38, you discover one of the countries that will feature in the end times is Persia. That's the old name for Iran. I also read that President Putin said that if the USA attacks Iran, Russia will come in on the side of Iran. You know, if you were to open your Bibles in Daniel chapter 11, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, you'll discover that great northern army, the Russians, will also play their part in the end times. Then, of course, China is lurking in the background. One of the leaders of NATO recently said that China and Russia are forming this excess of evil, if I can call it that, this evening. He says, we're no longer talking about post-war, looking to World War II. We're now talking about pre-war. They fully expect World War III to happen, and perhaps to happen very soon. I hope it doesn't. But again, when you open your Bibles, you discover in Daniel chapter 11, Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia's there. When you come to Daniel 11, you read about the kings of the east. Revelation chapter 16, you see China's there. See how everything's coming together? And I could talk so much about it this evening. We could look at the morality in the world. We could look at the financial situation. We can look at all the things that are happening in the world. I believe Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming very soon. How will you meet the king? Four people that met the king on his return. I want to draw your attention to them very quickly this evening. And I want you to step into their shoes, if that's the case with you. And ask the question very simply tonight. How will you meet the king? The first one I want to talk about was a man who would be worried. Look at verse 17, if you're still in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Remember, the king is coming back, and there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, this is the man I want to think of first of all, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, they went over the Jordan before the king. This man, Ziba, he's going to meet the king on his return. If you want, come back to chapter 16 to give you a little bit of his background very, very quickly. I promise you, I'll do this quickly this evening. And here's David leaving, 2 Samuel 16, verse 1. "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 summer fruits, and a bottle of wine." Do you see the provisions? And as David is leaving, this man meets David. Doesn't he look good so far? You see the purpose in verse number 2. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit to the young men to eat, and the wine, that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." You see the provisions, you see the purpose. Then look at the proclamation in verse number 3. And the king said, "Where is thy master's son?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Now this is a lie. He told the king that Mephibosheth had betrayed him, that Mephibosheth wanted the kingdom back to Saul. He was a son of Saul, grandson of Saul. He wanted the kingdom to come back to the house of Saul and not to the house of David. And so he tells the king a manifest lie. Here's a man that pretended to be something he's not. And all that he has is built on a lie. And now the king's coming back and he's going to meet the king. If you look at 2 Samuel 19 verse 26, "And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame." And here Mephibosheth tells the king exactly what happened. Here's a man who would be worried when he met the king because he'd been living a lie. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 2 speaks about those who'll be ashamed that is coming. And maybe there's a child of God in here tonight, and you're not walking right with the Lord. Tonight, if Christ were coming back, you would be a worried man, a worried woman, because you know your life's not what it should be. Your life's not in keeping with the Word of God. And this man, Ziba, his life was marked by one big word: hypocrisy. He was living a lie. And the king is coming back. And now he's going to face the king face to face. He was a worried man. If Christ come back tonight, would you be ashamed? Or would you love his appearing? Is there a backslider in the meeting tonight? But let me take it a little bit further. This man Ziba pretended to be something he wasn't. Does it go even deeper tonight? And I say this very sincerely, and I say it compassionately tonight. Was there a profession of faith? But you know tonight in your heart you never were saved. There never was that turning from sin. There never was that crying unto God for salvation. There never was that conversion experience. There never truly was that time in your life when you were born again. And let me say, you have been living a lie. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And I'll tell you, you should be worried. Well, thank God tonight there's time. There's time for you to put things right. If you're a backslider tonight, it's time for you to come home. If you've never been saved tonight, it's time for you to get saved. I spoke at a tent mission in 2016. A lady stayed behind and I spoke to her, and she had been in churches. She had been baptized as a believer. She lived this life as if she was saved. And yet she said, "I've never, ever been saved." She was living a lie. If the Lord Jesus come back tonight, let me ask you tonight, would you be worried? Let me mention another man very quickly. I don't want to say much about him this evening. 2 Samuel 19, verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance when he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. This man, Barzillai, had given the king a help and provisions. You can read of it. We'll not turn to it tonight. In 2 Samuel 17, verses 29 and verses 27 to 28, he said, "The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." This was David's man. And this man genuinely helped them. This was a true servant of God. This was a man who truly loved the king and served the king. And here the king's coming back, and he's going to hear the "well done, thy good and faithful servant." Tell me, are you someone that serves the Lord tonight, dear child of God? If the Lord were to come back tonight, how will you meet the king tonight? Will you be worried tonight? There's hypocrisy there. There's a profession there, but to be honest with you, there's no real possession. Or would you be like this man, Barsillia? Would you be working tonight? This man, over 80 years of age, he's still serving the Lord. What a blessing he was to the king. Let me mention another man. I don't want to say much about Barsillia. This man is called Mephibosheth. We've mentioned him already. And we're asking the question, will you be waiting? Look at 2 Samuel 19, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again and peace. Here's this man, Mephibosheth. What's his background? Come over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Again, this is a wonderful picture of the grace, the amazing grace of our Lord, and that wonderful gift of salvation. Let me give you some background and some information very quickly on this man called Mephibosheth. If you look at 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, here's an amazing statement from David. David was the king, and David says, "Is there any yet that is left of the house of Saul?" Now you know that Saul hounded David, Saul hated David, and Saul tried to kill David. And David's asking the question, is there any left of the house of Saul? Now you would think if there was some of the house of Saul that he would want to destroy them, he would want to eliminate them, wouldn't you? That was the normal thing. When a new king come, he would look out for the family of the previous dynasty, and he would try to have them all wiped out so there'd be no chance of any uprising or any rebellion. But look at the end of verse 1, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. This is a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ offers you tonight. You're an enemy of Christ tonight. We're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. We're born aliens to God. We're separated from God. Your sins and iniquities have separated between you and your God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he's seeking you tonight. Just like David sought this man Mephibosheth. Verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, he said unto the king, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant be he." And the king said, "Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has a son which is lame in his feet. This is the man we're talking about, Mephibosheth. And this man, Mephibosheth, is being sought by David. The Word of God says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." You know the Lord's seeking for you tonight? The Lord's seeking for you in this meeting this evening that you might be saved. You see this amazing statement? You see the act of search? Look at verse 6. You see the abasement of the servant here. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant." Mephibosheth couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe that the king would want anything to do with him. He just couldn't get over it. You know, if we think, those of us who are saved tonight, of our salvation, the fact the Lord Jesus Christ would reach down and save a wretch like me, an ill-deserving, undeserving, hell-deserving sinner. You know, the truth is, we should never get over it. That's why we gather at this table every Lord's Day to remember him. We've never got over Calvary. We've never got over his salvation. And dear lost soul in the meeting this evening, you know, when you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is reaching out to you, a sinner, one who has turned their back on the Lord, one who has rejected the Lord, perhaps over and over again, and yet tonight again he's stretching out a nail-pierced hand, and he wants to lift you out of that miry clay and set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Mephibosheth couldn't get over it. He couldn't take it in. But you know, it went a little further than that. Verse number 7, And David said unto him, Fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth and the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Isn't that amazing? This man who was an enemy is brought in by David. Not only brought in into his family, but he says, you can sit at my table. If you know the story about Mephibosheth, you'll know at 5 years of age, a nurse had lifted him and dropped him, and he was lame in his feet. You see, he was the victim of the fall. But when he's sitting at this table, all evidence of the fall is gone. And again, it reminds us of God's wonderful salvation. He invites us to come. He says, you come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what a wonderful thing it is to be saved. Our sins are gone. The evidence of the fall has been wiped away. And we're justified in the sight of a holy God. Mephibosheth couldn't get over it. Let me say tonight, if you really understood what Jesus Christ went through in order to be your Savior, if you really understood the sinfulness of the human heart, and in spite of that, He's reaching out to you tonight, and He's offering you this wonderful gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Mephibosheth got a new family, he got a new friend, and he was guaranteed a new future. And when he meets the king, he is thrilled to bits. In 2 Samuel 19, verse 30, and Mephibosheth said unto the king offers Mephibosheth all that he had taken from him when he hears the truth, how that he had been deceived. He says, you take it all. It was enough for him that the king was back. He's like those whom Paul spoke of in the New Testament that love his appearing. Tell me, is that you tonight? How will you meet the king tonight? Will you be worried tonight? Will you be working? Will you be like Mephibosheth? Are you waiting? Are you waiting for the Lord to come back? Will you be someone who will love his appearing? Let me finish with one more character. This man is called Shimei. If you want to go back to 2 Samuel 19, verse 16, just to show you this man. And I realize my time's nearly up, but do bear with me for a few moments. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was off Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now, what's this man's background? Come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 16. I want you to see this tonight. Here's David, and he's leaving. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of a family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. This is our guy. The son of Gera, he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on the right hand and on the left. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Look down to verse 13. And David said unto his men that went by the way, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along in the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Here's the rejected king. He's going out. He's barefooted. His head is covered. There's tears in his eyes. He's the rejected one. He's on his way out. Here's a man that mocks him, throws stones at him, and calls him all the names of the day. If I can say that, this evening, here's a man who had no time for the king whatsoever. And as he sees the king, he won't take sides with the rejected king. Let me say tonight, those of us who are saved, we're standing with the rejected one tonight. The Lord Jesus says, marvel not that the world hate me, hate you, because it hated him first. And I'll tell you, this world still hates the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no time for the true Christ. And when you get saved, you take your stand with the rejected one tonight. This man wouldn't take his stand with the rejected one. He mocked him. He threw stones at him. He called him all sorts of names. But now the king's coming back. And 2 Samuel 19, verse 18, You read about how he meets the king and how he says to the king, I'm sorry for all that I did. And he's so apologetic, but it's too late for him. The king has come back. And he's been found out. David instructs his son Solomon to deal with this man called Shimei. And over in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 and verses 44 to 46, you discover that this man is put to death. I have a simple point to make this evening. Shimei never thought he would ever see King David again. He never thought it. He thought, this is the end of David. I'll never have to face David. I'll never stand before him. And so he throws stones at him. He laughs at him. He mocks him. He curses at him. And let me say tonight, maybe you've never thrown a physical stone at the person of Jesus Christ. Every time you turn your back on him, you're throwing stones at him. Every time you say no to him, you're cursing him. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been coming to you over and over again, and you've cursed at him, you've laughed at him, you've mocked him, you've turned your back at him because you think you'll never see him. This man Shimei is facing the king. And it's too late. And the wages of sin is death. Here's a man that was without, if I can say that this evening, he was without the king, he was without hope. And he lost his life. Tell me tonight, how will you meet the king? What if Jesus were to come back tonight? I honestly believe Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming soon. When we look around us and when we look at the Word of God, this book is so up to date. So up to date. How will you meet the king? What if the king were to come back tonight? Will you be like this man Ziba? Would you be worried tonight? Because you've been living a lie. Maybe as a believer tonight, there's another side to you that no one knows anything about, and the Lord's speaking to you tonight. It's time for you to get right with God. Maybe your whole life has been built on a profession, and you know tonight that you never had Christ as your Savior. And if Christ comes back tonight, you're going to be caught on. You're going to be caught on. Maybe you're like this man, Shimei. You've laughed at him. You've mocked the Lord. You've walked out meeting after meeting, and you've shook your fist in the face of God. I will not have this man to rule over me. And you never thought ever that you would see Jesus Christ again, like those on the cross that mocked him, that those that nailed him to the cross, those that took the scourge and ripped his back asunder, the soldiers that platted the thorns and drove them into the very head of the blessed Savior, those that pulled the hairs of his face, those that punched him and slapped him and spat on him, they never thought they'd ever see Christ again. And yet every one of them had to meet their Maker. And one day, you're going to meet your Maker. Maybe through death, perhaps through the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. How will you meet the King? A friend of mine who was in the Lord's work, he told a story. It's a true story. He was lifting children to take them to a children's meeting. And he was driving round the roads and he was calling at houses and he was lifting children to take them to a good news stop. This is quite a number of years ago when we didn't have the child protection legislation that perhaps we have now. But you know, along the road there was this car trying to get past him, and eventually it passed him in a flat out, and this driver, he shook his fist at my friend. He made some rude signals at my friend. And he was furious. He had road rage. And he made these signals as he passed my friend. My friend was on his way to lift some children. He got to a door. And when he knocked the door, who opened the door but Mr. Road Rage? He never thought that he would see my friend again. It was an unexpected encounter, wasn't it? What if Christ were to come back tonight? Are you living as if you'll think you'll never see Christ again? As a believer tonight, are you a worker? Are you waiting for Him? Are you longing for the Lord Jesus to come? Does it show in how you live for Him? Tell me, is there hypocrisy in your life tonight? Would you be ashamed? And the word actually means to blush. If Christ were to come back tonight. Are you like Shimei tonight? You've lived a life of Christ rejection. And when the Lord comes back, it'll be too late for you. And it will be a Christless hell for all eternity. When the roll is called up yonder, will you be there or will you be missing?